This is Cade Massey, practice professor at the Wharton School. On this week's Wharton Moneyball Highlight Show, we talk with Jeff Cedar. Jeff is a guest with us every year this time to talk Kentucky Derby. He's got a quantitative background. He's a pioneer in biomechanics, but he's a real horse guy and a character and a lot of fun, longtime friend of the show. This is Jeff Cedar.
From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Wharton Moneyball on Business Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to Wharton Moneyball here on Business Radio on Sirius XM. This is Cade Massey hosting along with my longtime collaborator, colleague, and friend, Eric Bradlow. Our co-hosts, our fellow co-hosts, Shane Jensen and Audie Weiner are out doing Shane and Audie things. Audie's in the classroom teaching intensely this week, a class on sports analytics, a graduate class on sports analytics that people are opting into, working intensely for 3 or 4 days. And he'll have even better conversation than usual. And he always has good conversation when he gets back in the studio with us as a result of that class. This is a special week on our calendar. We always look forward to it. It is not only Kentucky Derby week, but for Wharton Moneyball, that means it's Jeff Cedar week. And Jeff has been a favorite of our show. I don't know when the first, did we get him our first year? We might've had him our first year. 2014 was our first year. It's been an annual tradition. Jeff, welcome back to the show. Always good to see you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Jeff is the founder, owner, and president of EQB Inc. He has been in the world of horses for over 40 years. It came after a career in, I think of it as quantitative finance. He somehow mixed. He walked off of Lower Manhattan and back to the racing stables. And he's been mixing those in some form or fashion. We love to hear Jeff's take. He's got a more analytical take than most on horse racing. Jeff, what are you up to? How are things out there in Pennsylvania? And how are you thinking about this week's race?
Well, we've got a gorgeous spring day today. Red Robin came back the other day. Everything's peachy out here.
Lovely, lovely.
If we started in 2014, we had a horse we bought who was second in the Derby that year. And the next year, we won it with the horse we developed. But anyway, one of the things, we use quantitative analysis in a lot of ways. And we've invented our own techniques. We invented the equipment and padded stuff to get the data to do our techniques. We look at the size and shape of their hearts and the thickness of the muscles in the left ventricle. And we look at their lungs and their spleens. We do slow motion analysis of their way of going when they're galloping and running. And we've developed a lot of enormous databases and some technology. But for the Kentucky Derby, the defining thing is that almost none, in fact, none of the horses have run that far before. And stretching out is a big deal because a lot of horses, you know, they go all out and they look great, but they can't carry that speed. They can't carry it for a variety of reasons.
Jeff, hold on 1 sec. It's just interesting to hear you lead with that because most of us only pay attention to horse racing 3 times a year. And in that collection of races, the Kentucky Derby is the short one. And everyone talks about the Belmont being the long one. And you're coming in and saying, well, actually, these are brand new horses, essentially. And they haven't run this distance before. I don't usually think of the Kentucky Derby that way.
It's a rare distance, 1.25 miles. And the other 2 legs are longer, as you point out. So it's a big deal, the distance. These are 3-year-olds. They are not mature till they're 5. And 3, they're like adolescents. And their gait can be efficient and safe, or it can be unsafe and inefficient. In fact, most race horses. And we analyze all that. But for these horses, these are pretty much clean moving and fit horses and with a reasonably efficient gait. So they couldn't get here. There's only the 20... horses can qualify. There's almost 25,000 born a year in the United States, and around the world they're eligible. There's horses here from Japan and Europe, so it's the chances of getting there are infinitesimal. Although 1 year we had bought as young race youngsters 5 of the 20 horses, but anyway,
real quickly on those 2 points again, because these are just basic facts. You know, before we get into details of horses and ventricle sizes, I mean, just a basic fact. Another dominant characteristic of the Kentucky Derby is the field size. So setting aside the infinitesimal odds of making it into there, which is its own interesting question, just the field size alone.
Yeah, that's
we talk Yeah, tell us, talk about the what that means for field your for racing a horse.
They've never been in fields even half this big, most of them. And it's a big deal because if you're not right in front, you're going to get a wall of dirt in your face at 45 miles an hour, and it can take your eyeball out. It does sometimes. Or you're going to get banged around by 1,000-pound animals moving like automobiles. And we've had horses that we thought could have won the Derby, and the traffic just finished. It just belted them. One got it. Right. One got a new racing stripe on his side from being rushed, pushed against the rail, and pushed along with.
Right.
So Jeff, need some luck.
Let me just
you need a trip where you when you're ready to run, you can run. You haven't been banged or messed up with. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a big deal. But I all the technologies and all that aside, I don't. That's not where my predictions generally come from the Derby. I focus on the fact that they never run that far, and can they do it? And it turned, I don't look at how fast they are. I look at how they slow down. Not maybe on the turf where they kind of lounge around at the end all run hard, but on the dirt races in the United States, almost, 99%, they are slowing down the whole way. They start out very fast and they slow down. And when you see somebody go flying by everybody in the stretch, the others are just slowing down more. Okay. And it fits a logarithmic velocity decay curve function. You can actually map that fatigue curve. That was developed with the United States Olympic teams for swimmers. And it's if the repetitive action kind of thing, the muscles tire in a characteristic way for the particular athlete. And you can graph it. And because you can graph it, you can then extrapolate the function and you can see what their time would be for the long distance. Right. So in younger swimmers, you can see who at 25 yards is likely to be competitive at 100 yards when he's a little stronger and old and in the top. So we do that. And almost always, I mean, last year in the Belmont Stakes, there was a big, huge long shot. We picked him right out as one of the top horses in that race because of his fatigue curve. So this year when I did that, I think I sent you the list. But I think what stands out this year is two things. One, there's a heavy, heavy favorite. It costs $1 bazillion and is with the best trainers and owners and everything. His name is Fierceness, and he deserves to be a favorite. And then there's a whole bunch of horses at 20 and 30 to 1 to have a real shot. So I think your betting thing would be them. And if you don't have the courage to bet them to win, you could try to place or show. Two of them, uncharacteristically and rare, at the end of the key races, big time stakes races that they surely recently to come into this Kentucky Derby, two of them were in fact speeding up at the end of the race. It's like,
oh, really?
On the dirt in a big race. Yes. So they were capable of going a mile and then speeding up. That's a big deal because that means they weren't pooped. So you don't know what they could do. I figured that into the curves, and they still don't come out as beating this guy Fierceness, but a lot of things can go wrong. Fierceness got the 17 hole, 17 post position. He's got to come from way outside. If he runs right to the front, then he uses himself early. If he doesn't run right to the front, then he's behind a wall of horses with all that dirt in his face and may or may not get room to run when he needs to. But I think he's fast enough, maneuverable enough, talented enough. None of that's going to make any difference. It'll be like Big Brown. Didn't he come out of the 20 hole and win? So, I mean, if you're just that good, it doesn't matter.
So, Jeff, let me ask you a question. When you say, I got a bunch of questions. Let me start with the first one. When you say these horses have not run that far before, do you mean ever, like in training two, they've never run that far? Or do you just mean they've never ran a race that far?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't go racing speeds anywhere near these distances. A long workout. And really rare, it might be a mile, but usually it's 3/8. And secondly, they've never run at these speeds that distance in a workout or a race, and they've certainly never done it in a race.
Why not? Like, let me ask you a question. Like, would the recovery? Well, there's lots of possible reasons. One is the risk of injuries too high, which I'm sure you're going to talk about. One could be when would you do this? Like, you can't do it close to the race because that would fatigue them so much. Or is it all of those reasons?
All of those reasons, but it's mostly that those races aren't available. They just almost The vast majority of the races do not go that far, especially for 3-year-olds. A mile and an eighth is considered a route, a distance. So, there just isn't the opportunity to do it for the money. And you want to race so you win, so you get the points, so you qualify to get in the Kentucky Derby, so you're not going to screw around.
Does this horse Fierceness, does it have any chance? As you know, I'm a big historian. Does it have any chance to get anywhere near Secretariat's record? Or that's just a league we shouldn't even talk about. Secretariat is just so much better. No horse has been within a few even seconds of it, and Fierceness is no different. Or do you think Fierceness could be that once in a 50-year horse like Secretariat was?
Well, first of all, the Secretariat record in the Kentucky Derby, et cetera, was as a 3-year-old. Older horses have run faster, as fast. Secondly, Ghost Zapper, and he was a horse of the year not too long ago. Secondly, back then, they didn't have the drug testing. No comment there. And third, when Kentucky, when now they can find picograms, billions of a gram, it's a whole different game. I forget what else I was going to say about it.
Well,
I
Jeff,
don't
real quickly on that, I've been wondering, Baffert has been restricted. He can't enter his horses into the Kentucky Derby. It was 2 years ago, maybe, that the last of the drug detections was made. How's that played out? How has that affected the way people think about Baffert?
Well, there's a
What's the
terrific
consequence of that?
documentary just out available on FX and Hulu called The New York Times Presents Broken Horses, and it tells the whole story, and it does it really well. And Baffert's
Really?
had like something like 20 or 30 positives in the last 15 years or something incredible. And then, they took down the horse. The horse was a Kentucky Derby winner that was disqualified a couple of years. And there's been a lot of horses dying on the racetrack, breaking down. Our horses that we buy generally don't break down. They run a lot longer because we go to all these lengths, like what you see behind me, to analyze to find out who can do it safely. But we're, a teeny minority. So there's enormous risk of injury in these races. The fact there's 20 horses banging around with each other makes it even worse. And in a number of major races with the best, supposedly the best talented, best athlete horses in the last year, their horses have broken their legs and gone out and died right there near the finish line. New York Thunder, for example. So I forget what question I'm answering. I get so passionate. Oh,
Well, I'm curious.
Secretariat. Secretariat was incredible. He had a huge heart. He had the right gait. He had all those things. But he was also 3 years old. And you're talking about 3-year-old times. I think that Fierceness, I don't, also the track was different. They scraped it. It wasn't as safe. It wasn't as deep, as I understand it. So there was a lot of reasons why maybe they can't move to it today. But the horses are getting better and better and faster, which is part of why they're more and more dangerous, because the velocity, it goes up as the force is the square of velocity times the mass. So if you go up a little faster, you get, it's
If I didn't
thousands
know,
of pounds on
I
the legs. I
well, that
think there's
makes a lot of sense.
horses that will
I
go as
didn't.
fast. I do think it'll happen. But in Secretariat's race, he ran a mile in the Belmont Stakes. He ran a mile and he set a world record for the mile. It was a sham. He was trying to keep up with him, right?
Right.
And then everybody was all cooked. They just set a world record for a mile. And he kept going and set a world record for a mile and a half, and nobody's come close. So yeah, that was extraordinary. But these days, there's many, many more horses who run close to those times. And I don't see why one can't.
So, Jeff, let me ask you. I'm looking at the betting odds right now, and I'm seeing Fierceness is 5-2, and
Right.
Sierra Leone's 3-1. So those seem pretty close to each other. And Fierceness, so let me ask you a question. Is there an arbitrage opportunity in that you may have, and just a question, you may have Fierceness much better than Sierra Leone, but the betting odds have them pretty similar. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, that's the opportunity. So you bet against Sierra Leone. The way to make a lot of money is with, an exact or trifecta where you bet the exact order first and second, or the exact order first, second, and third, and you can box it. So any order, it's three horses, right? So if you wanted to make a box and you put Fierceness in there, and then you put these 20 and 30 and 50 to 1 guys with it, And, maybe put Sierra Leone on, I guess, in as a place and a show horse. So, you don't have the value isn't there. I don't think Sierra Leone's going to. I could be, it's horse racing. And you never know. And some of it's not scientific. When I was younger and lighter, I used to exercise racehorses in the morning. We would go out on the farm in sets of five and six racehorses. And there's some horses, when you got on them, it was worth your life to keep them at the speed they were supposed to go. They wanted to be in the front and go like hell. And there were other horses you had to beat on, and it was worth your life to get them to keep up. And it wasn't their talent that was the difference. It was their attitude. And so, it's sometimes, let's say, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
I get to ask you a very fun question. This is what I do every single week. So, you told us, I'm just reading this right now, fierceness is at the 17 post. Let's say you believe, Jeff Cedar, that fierceness is the lead, is the odds-on favorite to win. I'm reading here, the 17 post has never won the Derby.
It
So
doesn't
how
mean
much are you changing your odds?
nothing. It means nothing to me.
Well, this is all right. So by the way, this is what happens every week. I bring these possibly meaningless
With all these
statistics.
statistics in racing, and these guys memorize everything in the percent. It's like looking at the height of the socks of the boxers and predicting who'll win the race, who'll win the bout. I think it's silly. By the way, if you want detailed betting from one of the world's best guys in the world, the Daily Racing Form website has a guy named Michael Kipnis. He's called the Wizard. His website is wizardracingsports.com. He's the guy. He'll make the ticket for you. Or you can call him up and he'll work with you on the ticket. But I mean, and he's as good as it gets.
All
Yeah,
right, so
this
Jeff, you've also
held up.
talked about you talk about a horse called Forever Young, who you're a little skeptical about, just won in the UAE Derby in Dubai this spring. But you say, I don't know if he can beat American horses, but it ties back to this question that you just raised. He's undefeated, and if he has this attitude that some horses seem to have of just being more competitive about it, there may be a little interest in that in Forever Young at 10-1.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, his times just weren't that impressive, but he's never lost. Smarty Jones didn't have the numbers when he came up into the Kentucky Derby, but he was a phenom. And a lot of people said, he just does what he has to do. And he did. And he did.
How
So,
important is it?
you can never count out a horse that's never lost and that's
Well,
run
that's
against
what I was
the
going to
best
ask
in the
you.
world.
How important is it? I mean, I just don't think I'm sure you're going to say this is not one of the key factors, but suppose a horse has really good times but has never won. Is that worth anything that the horse hasn't actually won? Is winning
That's how I got
important?
started. I got started that way. My first big client was one of the biggest stables, most successful in the industry, and everybody was laughing at me. And he said, "Come to my farm. I have 200 horses in my stable. I want you to give me a recommendation." So he had a new stallion called Catiensis, and he had a 3-year-old by the stallion named Nolan's Cat. And Nolan's Cat had not won a race against not very good horses, never won a race. And I said, put him in the Belmont Stakes, which is the third Triple Crown. It's a classic in the world. It's one of the most important races. If he could win or place in that, then the stallion, his daddy, that he was trying to make a new stallion with, all of a sudden, instead of having nothing, have a classic winner, a classic placed in his first crop. So he did it. And the trainer was l livid and said, he said, that day when we were there, he said it was a command performance. The Daily Racing Form the night before had all the analysis on who's going to do that, who's going to. They said, and then there's the jokers and the idiots, and that was us. They never apologized. And then the reason I told him, and he said, he burst out laughing, said, Nolan's Cat in the Belmont. I said, listen, right now you got a maiden. So what do you got to lose? And he's not fast, but he never slows down.
All right, so Jeff, I get to ask you the question
Wait.
I ask
Let him
everybody every
finish
day.
this. Hold on,
Sorry,
Eric.
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
What
It's my
happened?
turn.
Mile and a half. He
Yeah.
said it's going to be right up there. You watch. So we got there, and they were all making fun of us. And the trainer's pissed off, and they leave the gate, and he's trailing the field. And I wanted to hide under the table, right? And then about halfway through the race, he starts picking up horses. And then by the mile point, he's flying by people. And at the end, if there'd been another few jumps, he'd have won it. He was third. So now it's instead of a maiden worth nothing, he had a horse that had a strong place, finishing hard in the Belmont Stakes, a classic race. And to prove it wasn't a fluke, he then went on to a $1 million race in Louisiana and did the same thing. So that was
Wow.
Knowles. And that's
Wow.
how I got started 20 years ago. That's how I got my first break. So yes, we pick out horses, and the only thing wrong with them is that they're in the wrong race. They're on the wrong surface, or they're not going far enough. And if you just stretch, Street Sense was a major stallion and horse, and he wasn't that fast, but he never slowed down. He won all kinds of stuff. So it's not who wins the first half of the race. It's who finishes.
What I'm hearing your answer to Eric, we talk about this competitiveness quality, maybe some horses, don't count them out, but really in the end, you're a fundamentals guy. I'm gonna measure the thing. I'm gonna put more stock in what I can measure and then try to get him in the right spot.
That's
Then
right, but I can be screwed by a horse with part of a lion. And what is the biblical is there's the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong.
So let me ask Jeff, we always like to do this for every sporting race. So I'm looking at the betting odds right now, and it has the combined probability of Fierceness in Sierra Leone basically at 50%. All right, so you have a choice. You can have those two horses, or you can have the other 18 horses in the race. Who are you taking?
To win?
To
If you
win.
said play show, I'd take the other 18. To win, I'm not sure. I don't like Sierra
Oh.
Leone. I'm willing to bet against Sierra Leone. I'm not willing to bet against Fierceness.
Okay.
Very interesting. Okay, so you're saying it's not that bad saying those two and the other 18 just to win. In other words, you're torn. So you're saying 50-50. It might be off, but it's not way.
It's called a field. I think if you're a player, you might want to take that. Don't hold your breath, but it's not silly.
Jeff, we talk often on the show about variance within athlete because we don't talk enough about it in the world. We're forever ranking athletes, talking about mean differences in athletes, and we underestimate within athlete variance. You're a different guy on the court some days than other nights. You're a different woman on the tennis court some matches than other matches. And we think we underappreciate that. How would you characterize intra horse performance? How much variance do these horses? You might say, look, they don't have all the complicated psychology of a human. They don't have to worry about who had their
Oh
breakfast
yeah,
with
they do.
or
They have
whatever.
personalities.
Okay,
They
so
have
tell
manual.
us about that. How much
If you're walking a
variance?
young horse, if your groom is walking a young horse to the pasture and he won't go through the gate, so he slams him in the gate and gets mad at him, you're going to have trouble getting that horse through the gate for the rest of its life. If there's a bad experience, they get hurt, they do this, they do that, they're going to remember that, and it's going to affect them for a long time. And the mares go through their menstrual cycles, when they're in heat and when they're not, they have to try to give them what's called regimen. And some of these horses have different recovery times. Some need a month to run a big race against the top horses in the world. American Pharoah only need 2 weeks. But if they're different, those things, they're the denseness of the mitochondria and their main propulsion muscle, stuff differs. They have different needs and personalities.
Well, hold on, Jeff. Hold on.
All screw up.
We understand the
And then
people
there's the
forever.
jockey. The jockey can do it wrong and piss the horse off. And then
Okay.
instead of running faster, he'll slow down and fight with his jockey.
Who's got the jockey advantage this year? Who, which horse, which the lead, tell us who the leading jockeys are and which horses are they on?
Well, almost all the favorites are, they're all good jockeys in the Derby. People
Okay.
don't. Almost never do they put, well, occasionally they do, but almost never do they put. I mean, Spectacular Bid had, the nephew of somebody. He did fine because he was a super horse, even with Angel Cordero trying to take him out to the outside rail. But
All right, so I get to ask you this
I
question
mean,
then,
the
Jeff.
jockey,
I'll
I'll
take
tell you what
the.
was something. When what's his face? Now I can't remember his name. The guy who came up the rail with a 50-1 shot that year and won, mind that, in the mud. That was a spectacular ride. And that was all him. Man,
So,
that was.
Jeff, how much probability, how much belief in Fierceness would you change if I took the current jockey on Fierceness and put what you believe is the worst jockey in this race on Fierceness? Is the odds going in your mind from 40% to 20% or 40% to 35%? How much is the jockey effect in your mind?
Well, that horse probably 40% to 10%.
Really, that big?
You can't. You can't make a mistake in that race, and it's very, very hard not to make a mistake. You run too fast up onto somebody, you clip heels, you go down. You don't run fast enough, you're caught in traffic, and there's nowhere to run. You use the horse too early and he's pooped when the other guys are coming on. And you got to know how fa if the what the pace is. They have to know in their head exactly how fast they're going. So if it's super fast early, they can lay off the pace some. If it's an easy pace and they lay off at 10 lengths, they're screwed because the guy in front isn't getting tired. They have to know all that. And they don't, most of them can't do it. There's experts. There's guys who play the violin, as a virtuoso, and then there's everybody else.
Let me ask a follow-up. Is there enough time in the race to have multiple strategies? Like, for example, you try strategy A for the first quarter of the race, half of the race, it's not working. Now you switch to strategy
If you've
B.
got a good jockey and he does and he knows what to do, they say, all the planning goes out the window the minute the battle starts. It's pretty much the same in a race. If you're lucky, it goes the way you plan. But in this race, they're very good horses, and most of them really are going to try hard. And 20 of them, I mean, 20 of them are coming out of the gate at 45 miles an hour, weighing half a ton, and they don't speak English. And they don't have Lord.
You get me fired up for Saturday, Jeff. Hey, we're gonna have to let you go, but give us one last question on the way out. What advice do you have for those of us who are just, such casual horse race fans? As we watch this race on Saturday, it's so much fun, but it goes by so fast. What's one thing you would point us to? What's one thing you think we should pay more attention to than the casual horse race watcher usually pays attention?
Well, I'd say two things. You'd be surprised how much more interesting any race is if you put $2 on one horse. So I re recommend you do that. And the second thing is, I guess there's three. The second thing is, there's a lot. There's a lot in the show. They show behind the scenes and in the backstretch and they interview people. And I find all that interesting. I think it's worth watching. I wouldn't just watch the race. I'd tune in early and watch the pre-show because it's worth it. And they're beautiful horses, a beautiful sport. But there's a lot of problems, a lot of jerks in it. And horses get hurt that don't need to get hurt. You need to change that. And I don't know, I forget the third thing. Whatever. Oh, I don't know. I
Well, Jeff,
really
give us.
enjoy watching the race, but you gotta watch the show. Oh, I know what the third thing is. If you wanna really get into it and analyze stuff, go to the Daily Racing Form's website and look around and look tune into this guy, the Wizard, or maybe call him up. He's very personable. And
Jeff,
you get a ride to
give
Italy.
us. Give us a horse that you especially have. You said there are a few 20-to-1, 30-to-1s that you think are utterly reasonable. Is there one in particular, a Jeff Cedar favorite that we might put a little money on just to kind of be on the same boat as you?
Let's see, who would it be? It would be domestic product. Domestic product, I think,
Domestic product.
it's going to get no respect, and I think he's got a shot at it. He's 30-to-1. The other one's 20-to-1, Just Steal. I wouldn't be
Okay,
shocked if he
Jeff.
pulled an upset.
Okay, a couple of longer shots there. So there's some big favorites at the top, but Jeff's pointing us to a couple of longer shots, Just Steal and Domestic Product. At the very least, we know who to pull for just out of loyalty to you, Jeff. So thank you. And always, thank you for making time for us. This is a busy week of the year. We always enjoy catching up about the race with you.
Well, thank you. And they say that a racehorse can take 1,000 people for a ride all at the same time. So I hope that they do that for you on Saturday.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. That's Jeff Cedar, founder, owner, and president of EQB Inc. Longtime friend of the show, been in the horse race world for more than 40 years. Has a pasture up in Pennsylvania, not that far outside of Philadelphia. Jeff Cedar. That has been another Wharton Moneyball here on SiriusXM for the whole crew. Eric Bradlow for Shane Jensen in absentia. Audie Weiner in absentia, working hard in the classroom right now. Maddie Datz, the boss man. Dion Simpkins, the associate boss man. Kelly, the intern. Appreciate y'all listening. Come back and join us next time. Between now and then, enjoy your sports.